Hi, friends. Before we begin today's program, a quick note on this year's Summer Challenge. As you probably know, summer is usually the time of year with the lowest average giving for any ministry. And unfortunately, that's really true of Compassion Radio, too. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. Now, even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of amazing ministry and partnership with you, we're facing a budget deficit that we simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to help make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us, and we need you to do it this month, this week, and even, yes, today. Thanks so much for all you've done in the past to help us reach out to the world through our great partnership projects, and for letting us bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends. And in advance, thank you so much for how you're going to stand with us this summer.
Today on Compassion Radio.
A few weeks later, she had the cutest little accent when she came. More of the British accent than anything. But she began to try to talk like we talk. Of course, I have a very southern voice.
You sure do.
I apologize for that.
No.
She kicks me about my voice all the time. But anyway, she does not have the southern voice that I have. But I said, Georgina, you're beginning to talk different. She said, yeah, I want to sound like an American. I really want to be just American.
How old is she then, Shirley?
She was like 3 or 4. I want to be American.
And she already understood the difference. That's amazing.
And welcome once again to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm your host, Frank Montenegro. You know, since its foundation, Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa, has rescued 1,685 babies. Now, let me say that again. 1,685 little babies rescued by Door of Hope in Johannesburg, South Africa. Today, the president of the Compassion Radio Board, Cher Nelson, talks with Shirley Smith, a woman who, along with her husband, adopted one of those babies. My friend, you are going to be blown away by this amazing success story. Here's Cher to start things off.
We know that things have changed. There were quite a few international adoptions of the babies from Door of Hope, but we understand that that has changed, that international adoptions are either not possible or are so difficult that they're very rare. Tell us what's happened with that.
Well, I probably don't know all the details as well as some others would, but I do know that Nathan and Thomas and Georgina are the two here in the States as I know about. There may be another one or two, but I know some of the other countries have Holland, Norway, Germany. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of other countries that have adopted.
Right.
But yes, it's just so much red tape to go through that I guess the parents that want these kids just feel like it's not worth all what they have to go through to take them, and it really is sad.
On the other hand, one of the goals of Door of Hope has been to raise Christian children who can have an effect on the country of South Africa.
Yes.
So putting them in Christian homes there, where they can be brought up in the Lord and brought up to understand the difficulties of South Africa, may be positioning them for important changes down the road. Do you think that that's a possibility?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I know you know about the village.
Yes.
Because the village that they're building now, there's so many kids. And then, you know, most people, there's a few exceptions, want babies. You know, when they adopt a child, they want a baby. And so our little toddlers are continuing to grow up. The situation in Africa now is that we've bought this land out from Joburg, about 12 kilometers, where we're building a village. There's a large farmhouse on that land, and they have redone this house, and there was a big other kind of building, and they opened that up to a larger place to do whatever in the future. But the Allen's older son, David, and his wife, Kate, are going to be in charge sort of that area, and they're living in the big farmhouse there, and they have had that redone for them. And then they're building all around that land, just in a circle, sort of. They're building what they call little cottages. We hope to put a Christian parent in there, hopefully a husband and wife, with 6 children. So it'll be more like a little home setting to them. And this house will have enough rooms and whatever for that family. And of course, they will be taught the Christian walk as they live among this village, of course. And they're hoping to get a school someday in that little village, mm-hmm. that the children will have their own school and, you know, grow up in the Lord that way, too. And I'm sure that all the parents that they're bringing in there are going to be Christian people. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that when we adopt these children out, these parents are scanned and whatever and interviewed. And we know that they're Christian families that are taking these children into their home to adopt them as well.
Shirley, I'd like to back up just a little bit, just for our listeners who have not been longtime mm-hmm. listeners. We're talking with Shirley Smith, who was at the very conception of our Door of Hope project in Johannesburg, South Africa. Norm and I were privileged to go at the very beginning of it to see what had been planted and what was beginning to grow, or mushroom might be a better word for it. At that time, they were overflowing in the baby house, not only with babies in cribs, but beginning to have toddlers. And there was nowhere on the church grounds for them to play. There was no grass, having to be inside most of the time. But they had begun to look for a house outside of this very dangerous and difficult part of Johannesburg where they could have a toddler home, where there was place for the kids to play, an outdoor area for them to be in grass and have swings and just be kids. Norm caught the vision of this and said, we will pledge the money somehow or another. We will help get this done. And we came home, told the stories of everything we had seen and learned at Door of Hope, and we were able to raise sufficient funds to be able to make that home really happen. But it has continued to grow, and now, as Shirley mentioned, some of the children have not been adopted as little ones, and it gets harder and harder to find homes for them. Door of Hope has this absolutely phenomenal plan, what Shirley just described. We have had great success with our listeners in supporting the babies, but we took on the project of Hope Village last year. We think it's almost more important because these are children that could go either way. They could become very disillusioned with life. They could become part of the problem in South Africa, or they could be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and raised to be productive, important, influencing persons in South Africa. Don't know how often you've been back, Shirley, but are there any of those children that you know that you could tell us about that are at the age to be at the village?
I don't know any personally, but okay. They have moved some children to the village. As far as I know, they're thriving well. I know Kate and David are just incorporating them with their own family and giving them all the love that they can handle. So I think it's already proven to be a wonderful success. And Georgina is so excited about that project because she was always so worried about the little children that got too big to be adopted. She began to understand that at a young age, and she said, what will they do, Mama? What will they do with them? And when they began to talk about this village and one of her trips back, Kate took her out and showed her the village, and she came home just bubbling. She was so excited about this. She said, now they have hope. They can live there, and they hope to have them there through their primary school, high school, and then hope to get them into a university. And all of that's long-term mm-hmm. and helping them get out on their own and be fruitful and not just be back on a street or something. So, yeah, she is really into that project. She just says, I know that that's the answer for these children.
Oh, I am totally with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to love on little babies and just be turned inside out. But children get more difficult. They need different things as they grow. And it's so important mm-hmm. that those older ones feel the same sense of home and belonging that Georgina felt with you. We just think that Hope Village is an idea straight from the Lord that needs to be supported, and it just needs to grow exponentially. Tell us a little bit about Georgina, her life, how she adjusted to America, how she grew, and give us a little bit of her amazing story now that she's older.
Yes, when she hit the ground at the airport, she became a U.S. citizen. That's how it works.
Yeah.
A few weeks later, she had the cutest little accent when she came, more of a British accent than anything, but she picked that up from some of the volunteers. But she began to try to talk like we talk. Of course, I have a very southern voice.
You sure do.
I apologize for that. She kicks me about my voice all the time. But anyway, she does not have the southern voice that I have. But I said, Georgina, you're beginning to talk different. She said, yeah, I want to sound like an American. I really want to be just American.
How old is she then, Shirley?
She was like 3 or 4. I want to be American.
And she already understood the difference. That's amazing.
Yes, she really did. She used to say to me, you know, will somebody take me away from you? She just questioned me about that when we were living there for that year before we brought her home. We had her in our home there as permanent.
Mm-hmm.
She would say, Mama, is somebody going to take me away from you? She'd asked me that several times in her young age, you know, between 2 and 3 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I said, no, Georgina, nobody can take you away now. You're our little girl now. You're our forever child. And we tried to help her understand that. That question came several times to me. But once we got here, I don't know how she understood that she had the ocean between. She never asked me that again.
Isn't that wonderful?
It was like she felt home when she got here. And she just began to get very, very active and sing. She was singing before she left Africa. She loved to sing. She would sing every little song that she had learned in church and preschool. We had her in a preschool there in Africa the last year we were there, and they had taught her so many little songs. And she'd get in the car with us, and she'd just sing the whole way to wherever we were going. And she would run out of the list if it was a long trip, and she'd say, Mama, help me know some more songs. Which ones did I not sing? You know, and she's always been singing since we've had her. And so when we got here, we were in the States about 8 months before we actually ended up with our next assignment here, which was in Virginia Beach, Virginia. As we got there, we wanted to get her into something with music because we knew that she loved music and that was going to be her thing, we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody told us about Virginia Children's Chorus, and we looked into that. It's a very good organization, and you have to audition to get in it. But they said, she's not quite old enough. She's going to have to be at least 6 years old to do that. So when she was about 4 years old, we found an organization called Heroplayers. It was a theater group. And we let her audition for that. In fact, Don and Cheryl Allen had come for a visit, and it was the week that we were going to let her audition for the Heroplayers. They went to that with us. And they saw her jump up in front of all those people and sing and do her little thing. And, of course, they just went, you could just hear these ahs all over the group when she sang. You know, they thought, oh, wow, she's in. So, yeah, she got right into Heroplayers, and she was in several of their major plays. I mean, they have them in the big theaters up in Norfolk. And so she did very well in acting, and then she was singing, you know, while she was acting, and did very, very well there. And then it came time for the Virginia Children's Chorus, age she could get in. And we really knew that she needed that voice developed and needed to get help there. So we talked to the people, and they said, you know what, we will take her, but she'll have to choose between us and Heroplayers because theater groups tend to have children project their voices
in a different way.
Yeah, we would love to work with her voice because she is absolutely talented. We know that already.
Mm-hmm.
They took her in, and it's a group that we had to pay for, and it's not a real cheap group, but boy, it was so worth it. I would take her to Norfolk every Monday night. She would have an hour and a half of rehearsal, or 2 hours, I believe, and then once a month on Saturday, there's a five-hour rehearsal. She was in that 11 and a half years.
Oh, my goodness.
All the way through high school. So 11 and a half years, she was under the directorship of Miss Downing at Norfolk. They just did a wonderful job with her. And of course, music. She knew then that music was where she wanted to be.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. There's more coming up, so stay with us.
When everything is right, God says, go. When God says go, His presence goes with you.
My father was a radio broadcaster. He actually started the ministry that we have. He, in essence, passed it down to me, and we've been able to carry it forward. Although we have now changed the focus of the program from essentially devotional now to much more in terms of the global mission of the church, what God is doing around the world, and bringing back those stories.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Friends, I wish you could have the same mental image that I have of what exciting news it is to hear about her being this way, from that shy, untrusting, frightened little girl who just stood back and checked everything out to see whether she trusted it or not, thinking about her standing on stages singing with symphonies behind her and acting and performing. It's just what a healing that little girl has gone through. And what a perfect match God arranged for her to attach to Roy like she did, not knowing why, but I know God directed that, because what other family could have given her that same possibilities, the same opportunities? It's just absolutely God directed and a beautiful thing to watch happen and to hear about today. Shirley, do you stay in touch with Don and Cheryl and the Door of Hope? Do you have any news that you could share with our listeners that have been longtime lovers of Door of Hope?
Yes, we stay very close with them. We are in touch with Don and Cheryl. They call on birthdays and we call them on birthdays. Mm-hmm. We still feel like family to them and to the church there. We're very close to them. We keep up with all of that same group on Facebook. The church has things there that we see often, and we just love keeping up with all of them. And we hear about the babies. I think we just heard the other day there's been a total of 1,685 babies that have been rescued. I think about 531 of those actually came through the baby bin that we put out.
That's amazing.
Others have been rescued, you know, at different places. The police would bring them into the baby house, or they would call them from the little clinic down the street and they would go pick them up. Different ways that the babies have been brought in. Sometimes the mother just walks in and hand them over to the workers there.
I should mention for our listeners that one of the reasons they kept the babies at the baby house on the property was so that mothers had a chance to change their minds. If they decided that they would like to keep their baby, or decided that they really had more resources than they thought they did, that they could reclaim them, but also so that the family of the mother would have a chance to know about the baby and perhaps take it in. I don't know how many of those happened, but it was keeping the door open so that the child was not necessarily just abandoned. Well, Shirley, is the baby bin still in operation?
Yes, it is. It certainly is. And there are still babies coming through it. And there are still babies being brought into the church and handed over.
You mentioned the church, and you mentioned earlier the number of nations that were represented there. That was one of the most striking things to us, was how many nations have people who had heard about the golden city of Johannesburg, where jobs were just so plentiful and you could just get rich coming there, and people streamed from all over to a city that crumbled under the weight of it all. And it was the reason that there were pockets that were such crime-ridden, poverty-stricken areas like Berea, where Don and Cheryl established their church. But there were, I don't know how many different languages being spoken. Their deacons from the church, I think every one of them was from a different country. It was the most fascinating preview of heaven for us, of just seeing all those different nationalities worshiping together. It's one thing when we travel and we have the wonderful experience of worshiping with different nationalities where, you know, they sing in one language, but we know the song and we sing in English with them and we share that together. Yeah. But this was such a cross-national experience of people coming together who loved the Lord, who had nothing but were willing to give everything they had to making the church and the Door of Hope Project happen together. It was an intriguing and thrilling thing. And as I understand, that's still most as international as it was then. Is that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And I don't remember if you all came there when all the walls removed from that building, when you all were there. Do you remember just being different little rooms in the church?
No. It was open.
All open, because that was, you know, a normal looking house with the rooms and the kitchen and the bathrooms and everything in it. And of course, it just began to fill up. You know, the one room would fill up and people would be hanging in the windows and all during the service. You would hear this, and it took me a little while to get used to when we began to attend there, but you would have somebody in front of you interpreting for the person next to them. All through the audience, that would be going on. And eventually, you know, we had a North Carolina team to come in, and we said, you know, we need this other wall torn out here. Can you just get that wall out? We got to put more chairs in the church. And one room after the other, we had a team to come over, and ended up, we had taken everything out, including the kitchen and the toilet.
Oh, no.
We had to build a little area with the toilet out back, another little room, and then we built a little Sunday school room out back for the children. But the whole entire thing, of course, they had to put something to keep the house braced, of course, columns in the middle. And now they still do not have enough space. They have people still standing at the doorway and sometimes looking in the window. So it never went back down. It always has increased, always. And there's just as many, probably more nationalities meeting in that church today.
That is so wonderful. Most of our listeners will know that Cheryl has had some real struggles with her health.
Yes.
We always wonder, but do not ask the Lord why these things happen when people are so dedicated to serving him in such dire situations. It would seem like those are the servants that he would prop up and take care of the most, but we do want to ask our people to continue to pray for Cheryl and Don. It has been a real struggle for them, and God just needs them so desperately in that place. But I know that they have been teaching and feeding and raising up other workers in that field to take their place someday. But please continue to pray for the ministry of Berea Baptist. It's an amazing international church.
Oh, absolutely. We would make anything for having been members there. We had been told by other missionaries, now, you know what? It's probably not the safest thing to do is to ride down into the intercity. And of course, we visited with Cheryl in a few weeks after that and heard her vision there for that community. And she's a very good preacher.
You've been listening to Compassion Radio with our guest host, Cher Nelson. We'll hear more from Cher and Shirley Smith on our next broadcast. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.